Oh, hymns, there is strength beyond measure. Sometimes I hear that song playing on the radio coming through the hallway of the house, and it just always encourages my heart to know that our strength is beyond this world, as she said. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know why so many people's fading nowadays? You don't see a lot of people with joy, do you? But I'll tell you, them joyful Christians, they can go through the hardest times of life. And joy doesn't change, amen. It is what carries us on. I praise God for that this morning. If you'll turn with us to 2 Kings chapter 19, 2 Kings chapter number 19. And I'll tell you, I've not been able to get this burden off my heart, and I want to be obedient to God and preach a different message, but somewhat along some of the lines I preached on last Sunday. It's just been the burden of my heart these days, and I feel like it's where we're living today. And so I pray that God will speak to us. And I want to say it's a joy to have a lot of visitors here this morning. And I want to thank you for being in the Lord's house. You could have went anywhere, but you came here this morning. And we're grateful that you came to be a part of our service this morning. If you're able to stand with us, 2 Kings chapter number 19. I want you to notice verse number 14 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 14. The Bible said, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, the Lord, the king of Assyria, have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast down their gods into fire, for they are no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us these next few moments to preach what you've laid upon our heart. I ask that the will of God would be done this morning. I pray that you'd remove any hindrances this morning from the service. I pray that you'd bind the devil this morning. And I pray for sinners to be saved, for backsliders to repent. Lord, for your name to be exalted, for saints to be encouraged. Lord, we'll love you and we'll thank you for what you do this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Just a moment of a background of this text that we have read this morning. We know that Hezekiah has become king. He is the third ruler of Judah. And the Assyrians have invaded Judah, and Sennacherib calls for the people of Jerusalem to surrender. And so Hezekiah is going to seek help from the Lord. And he's going to use the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah is going to send a message to him in chapter 18 and then again in chapter number 19. And thank God for a prophet that has a message from the Lord. Amen. And the angel of the Lord is going to come down in the latter part of this chapter, and he's going to hear the prayer of Hezekiah, and he's going to kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And in the end, Sennacherib is going to be killed by his own men. So if we was to sum up chapter 18 and chapter 19, I would simply sum it up by saying this, that there's no enemy too big and there's no army too vast that what God cannot take them down. Prayer always works and prayer always wins when we turn our face toward God. But when we come to chapter number 19, just prior to our text this morning, in the last verses of chapter 18, there is a forewarning there as the Assyrians surround Jerusalem and they taunt the citizens of that city, promising them a swift and severe punishment unless they surrender. splendor. So Judah has been surrounded. Jerusalem has been surrounded. And there's a forewarning here. And the fear comes to Hezekiah as he gets the official report as it's given to him. And he becomes very afraid. He dresses himself in sackcloth and he prays in the temple. And he seeks and he prays for the rescue and the deliverance of Judah. That is what is taking place in our text here. And this final warning is given by Sennacherib as he receives the word that he has to go to Ethiopia and he has to go there against the rebellion that is taking place. But he makes a promise to Judah that when he returns, that he's going to take that nation down. And that's where we come to our text this morning. In verse number 14, the Bible says that Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and he read it. Now this shakes Hezekiah to the point that it drives him to his knees. This trouble, this letter, this problem, it brings Hezekiah to the place where he begins to call on God. So in verse 15 down to verse 19, that's what we have. We have Hezekiah's prayer to God for the nation, for Judah. Amen. He is praying on their behalf. I wish this morning that we had a president that would go to God on behalf of America. Amen. My friend, but may I say, even though he will not and does not know God, there's enough people across this land that if we'll go to God on behalf of America, the same God this morning that delivered Judah is the same God that sits high in the heavens this morning and looks down on the children of men, and he's just as willing this morning to hear our prayers as what he was Hezekiah's prayer this morning. Amen. And I want you to notice in verse number 19, as Hezekiah, as he closes out his prayer, notice what he said in verse number 19. He said, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee," look at this phrase here, "save thou us out of his hand." I want to preach this morning on this subject, on God save America. God save America. You say this morning, preacher, America is too far gone. We're living in the last days. Jesus is coming, and America is not mentioned in end time prophecies. She will surely fade away in some form or some fashion. I understand every bit of that this morning, and I believe that this morning. But I want to say also, the Bible says, who can tell what the Lord would do? Amen. I'm telling you, Nineveh was too far gone. Nineveh was a wicked nation. Nineveh did not have the promises that the nation of Israel had. She was vile and she was perverted. And she was far, her wickedness and sin far exceeded the wickedness and sins of America today. But my friend, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And my friend, revival came. And the hand of God's judgment was stayed for 100 years until the book of Nahum was written. And I want to say this morning, if America would repent, if America would turn back to God, if America would pray once again, the same God that saved Nineveh is the same God that'll save America this morning. Amen. And if I want to be guilty of anything this morning, in these last days, here's what I want to be guilty of. I want to be guilty of praying for America. God save America this morning. You see, this morning there is only one person who can save America, and that's God. It's not our president. It's not a party. It's not, my friend, a movement. But it is God Almighty. And there is only one thing that will save America, and that is prayer this morning. We, my friend, have enough saints and enough churches and enough preachers across this land, even though we look like a remnant in this country, and I know that we are, but there's still enough people. For the Bible says this morning that if two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. And my friend, America is still worth praying for. You say, Brother Gravely, it's not the 4th of July. I understand that. But I tell you, it is the last hour and the last days. And brother, God is calling on us to do more than celebrate a holiday, but to get on our knees and to come to the throne of grace and to pray for our churches and to pray for a younger generation and to pray for America, that God would spare this nation. But for it is not just the hope of this generation, but the hope of this world in this hour. It lies, my friend, in America and in Israel. My friend, in the preaching of the gospel. God save America this morning. In order for God to save America, we must look to God. We must repent of our sins. We must seek the face of God. We must turn back to God. We must weep once again. We must cry out to God. America this morning is drowning in sinfulness. She's drowning in selfishness and sleepiness and stubbornness and shamefulness. America is drowning in pride and perversion and prosperity and pleasure and yes, even politics. And while America goes to hell, the church has gone to sleep, and we've lost our brokenness and our burden and our backbone and our belief that the same God that did is still the same God that can. Amen. And the same God that does. In this hour, we need churches who have become dead and dry and dull and discontent and divided and defiled. We need them to, my friend, go to God on their knees and to pray and to seek His face. For we are still the salt of the earth this morning. While we wait on Washington, God waits on us. While we condemn Hollywood for their filthiness, God condemns the church for their prayerlessness. We must cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. As 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1 tells us, we must sow in tears that we might reap in joy. We must cry aloud and spare not this morning. We must have a broken and a contrite spirit rather than an arrogant and a haughty spirit. We must hide ourselves in the secret chambers of prayer rather than showcase ourselves before others and promote our wicked and ungodly flesh this morning. We must see ourselves as we really are, helpless and hopeless, without a thrice holy God. This morning, there'll be no revival if there is no breath. Amen. There'll be no touch, or there'll be no glory if there is no touch. If the winds of another world do not pass through, then we would only be forced to do what other churches are doing, and that is to manufacture some form of entertainment, a form of what would look like to be the power and presence of God that would only satisfy the flesh but would do nothing for the spiritual man. My friend, we need an awakening in America. My friend, we need revival in America. We need the move of God in America. We need God to wake us up out of our slumber and our sleep and to get our attention. My friend, that America is going to hell, that our children are going, grandchildren will go to hell if we don't have revival in this hour. May God help us today. Hezekiah cries out to God, and we must cry out to God. We must find a place and get broken over this great nation. I see the prudence of his cry. The Bible said that he received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and notice that little phrase, he read it. He was aware of the threat and the trouble that was taking place, that was at the threshold of Judah's door. I wonder how many people this morning in America, and I'm not talking about lost people, I'm talking about church-going people, are aware of the threat and the trouble that is at the threshold of our door today. And again, I want to reiterate what I said last week. I'm not talking about China, and I'm not talking about my friend Russia this morning, but I'm talking about the spiritual bankruptcy that is taking place across this land. I'm talking about the closing of churches and missionaries that are coming off the field and others who are not surrendering to go and to do the will of God. I'm talking about those who are sitting at ease in Zion and enjoying the comforts of what we call the American dream, while all the while we give up our convictions and our principles and our values and our moral standards just to be for the comfort and the conveniency that has been offered to us in this hour. I'm telling you, my friend, we need to open our eyes and we need to see. My friend, what's at the very threshold? The next generation will not have what we enjoy today if we don't pray the price, if we don't come to God in prayer, if we don't seek His face. I see the prudence in His cry. Then I see the place of His cry. Notice verse 14, the Bible said He went up into the house of the Lord. He took the problem to God's house, a place where burdens are laid down, a place where we communicate and we talk with God. He went to the place of worship. In our average churches today, they sit vacant. Many of our pews sit empty today with people that have got more going on in their life than what they ought to. People today, Sunday, and again, I'm not talking about just the lost world today. We don't expect a lost man to have a desire to come to church. But what troubles me today is people that claim to be saved and love Jesus, that have found everything else to do on Sunday but church. Sunday has become a sports day. Ballparks, racetracks, and soccer fields. It's been a day when people go to the lake and they have backyard cookouts and they go to beaches and they ride through the mountains instead of a day of worship and prayer. And this morning I want to say, you say, Brother Gravely, I don't like that. It doesn't make no difference to me. You're going to hear it anyway. Like it or lump it, this morning I'm telling you it's the truth. Amen. It needs to be preached in every church in America. I don't care if it hair lifts every bit of hell this morning. I'm telling you, we're in a mess because people don't take Sunday like it ought to anymore. They don't reverence the house of God. They don't think twice about missing church and laying out and don't even plan to come back to church on Sunday night, and they think God's okay with it. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, He's not. And there's a judgment day for all of us, friends. And we'll give an account to God for every church service and what we did with that church service. The excuses that were made that may have satisfied and eased our conscience but will not hold water on the day of judgment. I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time when our churches ought to be filled to capacity with church folks, it's this hour. There ought to be a major concern amongst the saints as to the hour that we're living in, and it ought to drive us to the house of God. It ought to cause us to want to be in the place of worship, and we ought to come ready, and we ought to come burdened, and we ought to come concerned, and we ought to come with a heaviness in our soul this morning. He took his problem and he went to church. You know what I've seen some people do down through the years as a pastor? When problems come, I've watched them give up and start slacking in church, as if their problem gave them a right to miss church. Friend, when problems come, you don't lay out, you press on. You go on. You keep on. Amen. You say, why is that? Because you need church more than ever. And the world is looking at us when problems come, and we need to let the world know that the God that we sing about and the God we preach about, He's not just the God of the mountain, but He's the God of the valley. He's not just the God in the good times, but He's God in the bad times. He's worth living when the sun is shining, but He's worth serving when the storm clouds are hanging low. And our dedication and our consecration and our commitment to God ought to be enough to get us to church on Sunday morning, and it ought to be enough to bring us back to church on Sunday night. It ought to cause us to want to go. And my friend, we ought to carry a burden in this hour. He went up to the house of the Lord. And I see the presenting in his cry. The Bible said he spread it before the Lord. He was disturbed about the nation's security and spirituality, not just politically and socially and economically, But he comes before God and he's concerned. I ask us this morning, what are we laying before God as we come to church? Well, Brother Gravely, I just come to hear some preaching and get some help. Well, I understand that, but what did you bring to God this morning? What are you laying before him? Is there a burden on your heart? This morning, are we concerned about our nation? Are we concerned about our local church? What are we bringing to God in prayer? What are we laying before God? He had something to lay before God. I'm telling you this morning, in the average church that I preach in this morning, listen, across this country, it's just about as hard to get saints to move to an altar as what it is to get sinners to come. And we wonder why sinners won't walk the aisle. They're not coming if we're not coming. They're not praying if we're not praying. They're not weeping if we're not weeping. They're not getting serious if we're not getting serious. They're not responding if we're not responding. Oh, that God would not just rend the heavens, but would he rend our hearts once again and bring us to the point where we would get disturbed about some things spiritually this morning. I pray that God would put a tear in all of our eye this morning for our nation, for our future. I pray this morning that God would lay on the heart of every saved person in this building an individual burden for your local church, your home and your family, and for your country. Why is it in America people get so upset about the economy? I don't like paying $5 for a box of cereal, no more than anybody does. But why is it people can get upset over a carton of eggs, on the price of gasoline, and over a box of cereal more than they can people going to hell? Could care less if their church has revival. But when it gets into their pocketbooks, I'm going to tell you why this morning. Because the almighty dollar is what America trusts in. You say, preacher, but our coin says, in God we trust. This nation stopped trusting in God a long time ago, and it didn't start in the White House. It started in the church house when people substituted God for great better wages and a better way of living in life. I'd rather drive a bomber car and live on a shack by the side of the road. And my friend, have God no time religion has to live in a palace and have no God. Amen. I'm telling you, I'd rather us go put a tent up in a field somewhere and feel the breeze of heaven pass by as to sit in a nice, comfortable auditorium and let our children go to hell. I'm telling you this morning, we need to wake up in this nation. God help us this morning. We need to wake up. God save America. She's on a ventilator this morning. And God will not save America until I realize that the problem is not Biden. It's not the Democrats. And I burn the Democrats hot up every chance I get. And rightfully so. I'm not going to quit preaching. I'm going to preach against the whole outfit. Bunch of spineless Republicans too. Amen. That's coming to a pulpit near you. Just tighten up a little bit. Amen. It won't hurt you to hear it. But God this morning is not upset with Washington near as much as he is our apathy, our laziness, and our complacency. This morning, I'm not condemning the church. We've already been condemned, church. What's wrong with our churches in America? I'll tell you what it is. It's not just the pew, it's the pulpit. Prayerless men of God that have learned that personality and delivery and intellect will satisfy the average congregation more than the power of God. I didn't come this morning to just give you an outline. I said this morning, I was praying last night and I couldn't get, I had the burden, Brother Lighty, but I couldn't put it together. So I just went to bed and I got up this morning and I said, God, I can't put it together. I'm just going to preach what's in my heart, this passage and this thought. And I went down to my office this morning during Sunday school and the Lord just put it together for me there in a few moments. But I'm telling you this morning more that I want to come and just give you an outline and draw a paycheck and go to the house. God in heaven knows what I'm telling you this morning. I'd rather dig ditches for a living every day of my life and know that I've been true to God and that I'm preaching for the souls of men. I'd rather have the approval of God digging ditches this morning as to collect some paycheck and go to the house and let everybody go to hell this morning. Amen. You know, preachers in America that's more concerned about their schedules and their politics. A man called me one day and started to tell me something. I said, I don't want to hear none of that mess. I don't care about none of that. He said, well, I'm just telling you. I said, brother, I'm just telling you. You and nobody else called me to preach. And I started preaching this way. And I'm going to keep on preaching this way. I'm telling you, you can take your little old meeting, amen. You can take your little old revival. I'm telling you, friend, you know where I started preaching at? I started preaching in a jailhouse, an old two-story jail with no air conditioning, bunch of box fans and televisions and a bunch of cussing sinners. And if I got to go back to preaching that way, I'll preach till my dying day. God in heaven knows, with a King James Bible in my hand, I'm telling you the truth. I do not care this morning, but what I do care about is every person sitting in this building, that we have revival this morning. God, bring us to that place where every soul in this building would come clean and honest before God. For every person this morning that's got anything between us and the Savior, that we would come before God and that we would pray and that we would get broken over ourself this morning. God, help us. Holy Ghost, show us this morning our sorry, stinking self. Not some other member. Some of you this morning, I don't know anything, but I know the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, and look up out here at me while I'm looking at you and your God-given eyeballs this morning. I don't know one thing, but I do know one thing. I don't know a lot of things, but I know one thing this morning. I know when the Holy Ghost speaks to my heart. And there's some of you here this morning, I love you enough to tell you what I'm about to say to you. And you may never come back again, and I hope that's not the case, but I love you enough this morning to tell you what I'm going to tell you this morning. Some of you can't have revival because you're not right with each other. Brother Gravely, how do you know that? Because every time I get on my knees and pray for this church, the Holy Ghost of God tells me that. Now, swallow every bit of what I just told you. And I'm going to walk all the way up this aisle so that nobody thinks for one second, Brother Jason, that I got anybody. You say, who you got in mind? I got everybody in mind is who I got in mind. Everybody in this church is who I got in mind right now. And I'm not being mean to nobody. You know that. I love y'all. But we're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat. Because it's going to tell all. Every little thing we ever said about somebody. Every little piece of gossip we listened to. I'm glad you're here this morning. Your wife doing okay? Good.
Good week.
Boy, his wife had a good week. Isn't that a blessing? I hope you're having a good week right now. But every little old thing that we sat around. You say, well, preacher, people just tell me stuff. That's because you listen to that mess. And you're as guilty as they are. Amen. I'll ask you a question. Wouldn't it be good? You know why I don't attack other preachers? Because I got enough problems with me this morning. I don't like what the Holy Ghost shows me about me this morning. You know why I'm not going to attack you? I got enough problems with me this morning. I just want to see my grandkids get saved. I want to see them serve God. I want this world to eat them up. I want to see my children and their spouses finish right. And God knows I want to finish right. I want to finish right, Brother Daddy. I don't want to become a casualty. I love this country. Don't you love this country? This I want to see all you kids serve God. I want to see every one of you make it. And if any of y'all mad at each other, I don't know. I hit that last week, didn't I? So I'm hitting it again this week. So it must be because some of y'all are mad at each other. Is anybody here mad at each other? I want to know right now. Are y'all mad at each other? Are y'all mad at anybody? Are you mad at anybody? Are y'all mistreating anybody? Anybody? You ain't going to say nothing, are you? Okay, she pleads the fifth, so I must be right on it this morning. Y'all's little volleyball thing hadn't been an issue, has it? Zero, I'm getting two negatives here, head nods. Okay, everybody's good. Are y'all good on volleyball? Okay. How about it, Mom and Dad? Are y'all good on all them volleyball? How about all them birthday parties y'all have? Everybody good on birthday parties? Let's just run over everything this morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel about 10 acres of boldness in my soul. I may go home and feel guilty the rest of the day, but I feel good enough about it right now. Is everybody okay on birthday parties? Y'all ain't getting in fights over birthday parties, are you? Because if you are, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd pour gasoline on a cake and set it on fire. And I'd never have another stinking birthday party again. That's exactly what I'd do. Amen? That's right. And while I'm on that subject, might as well get on it, might. If you're one of these people that, so he must have heard something. I did, standing right there. Right there, I heard something. The Holy Ghost told me, standing right there. If you got your little who's who, and your little not who's who, then you just need to come on down here this morning. Get right with God. We've never had that in this church, and we ain't going to start it today. Can I get an amen? We've never had that in this church. And we ain't going to have it now. Amen? You got your friends, and then you got your enemies. Well, we ain't having that around here. I'm going to preach on it every single Sunday. Till it's everybody gets in line with it. So I'm never coming back. Well, we're going to load you down real good today. I'm going to tell you why that's so foolish. All that mess. Churches fuss and fight over garbage like, yeah, God help us. People going to hell. I'm going to tell you, just stay with me after service. There's not a service hardly ever, other than Sunday morning, because I give that to my family. There's not a Sunday night or Wednesday night hardly. I ain't sitting around talking to somebody and helping somebody. And I do it because I want to. I enjoy that. That's why I know God called me to be a pastor. Because if you come to me today and say, can I talk to you tonight? I'll stay till 10:30, friend. And we have. I don't even know where. Oh, there you are. I thought you left on me. Amen. Pretty bad when she's going to the house. Amen. But I'll stay till 10:30 and talk with you because I love you and want to help you. I don't really remember what I was going to tell you right there, but it was good. I promise you that. But all that stuff, we're going to. I'm just preaching this because here's why. Our nation needs our prayers. And life is too short. And y'all need to make it for God, and you need to marry right, and you need to have good families, and all that silly stuff. It's just never happened here. And by God's grace, it ain't ever gonna happen here. We'll flush every bit of that out, won't we, Brother Jones? Amen. Oh, this morning, as we stand, I have a lot I could say, but you've heard enough this morning to know. I love this country, don't you? I love America. And I love you this morning. I believe you love me. May God, oh Lord, help us this morning have revival. I don't even know what all we need to do to have revival, but I know we need you this morning. We sure need you this morning. Every home, every family, God, we need you this morning. If you need to come, you obey the Lord this morning.